Hey, funny business listeners, before you guys jump into another red hot episode from the boys, I just wanted to jump on quickly. It's Caleb Holstein, co-founder of SquareX Innovations here. As Aussies, we love our coffee, and the Australian coffee scene has long been a global benchmark for quality and innovation. And now I'm pumped to introduce you to our best invention since the flat white, SquareX's first product deployment, GreenSquare. GreenSquare is a holistic ag tech software suite enabling coffee roasters and importers to take control of their largest product cost, green coffee. At SquareX, we're securing the digital future of the coffee supply chain and beyond. Enjoy the app.
Hello and welcome to Funny Business. As the name suggests, a little bit of funny, a little bit of business. I'm Locke.
And I'm Rob. On today's episode, we have Lucy Piper, Director of Work for Climate and I reckon all-around legend is a good way to describe Lucy.
What do you reckon? I'd say D to E, down to earth.
Down to earth. I felt energized and like motivated to do better in my life after this chat. It's like they're the ones that I really enjoy sometimes too. Not too much because I don't like to be in, realize how much of a piece of shit I am sometimes.
It's quite easy to look at that and go, yes.
You must look in the mirror and feel that way sometimes
too. I think it comes across in the chat, but I really admire her work and I feel like the way she articulates her ideas, the work that she's doing, I feel like you can get people on board.
Plenty to learn from this episode. Enjoy.
Bye. Lucy, thank you so much for jumping on and chatting with us today in the Funny Business Podcast. For those at home listening, tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Hey, fellas. My name is Lucy Piper, and I'm the director of workforclimate.org. And, I mean, what does that mean? I run a program that is designed to help professionals tap into like their inner climate activist at work and help their companies do more about sustainability, about climate, about all of the stuff that we hear in the media to do with net zero and stuff like that. That is what we do at Work for Climate.
I feel like these chats are always sometimes a bit challenging for Locke and I when we talk to people like yourself, Lucy, who spend their life doing interesting sort of stuff, and it makes us look at each other and go, ooh. You
know, I had Nutella on toast this morning, you know?
No, I reckon the reason that I started working in this space was it kind of came from a similar chain of thought in my own mind. Like I was working in a role like in creative and brand, and I was starting to think a lot about climate and thinking like, what if all the people in the world right now who utilize their brain capacity to figure out how to get people to click on ads and how to optimize user experience and stuff like that, like all this smarts that is out there in the world, what if we could kind of point those brains at solving the climate crisis, but like inside the companies they're at the moment? And so I was coming at this work from exactly where you're at now, it like not an expert, feeling like it's very overwhelming and inaccessible, and like I wasn't doing anything to contribute to solving problems. So like I totally get where you're at, and I'm in the same place, to be honest.
Why do you think it's been that shift where people inside corporations feel like this has to be a big element of corporate social responsibility or some form of give back or some sort of like purpose driven impact too, yeah, stuff? That why do you think it's why that shift is happening?
I reckon there's a bunch of stuff that's kind of all been bubbling up over the past 3-5 years. Like before the pandemic, we had it here in Australia, the bushfires, I think, was a real trigger for a lot of people in Australia to feel like they are experiencing the effects of climate change now, and like this is real. It's no longer something that we're just reading about in the news that's like this distant, far-off thing. I think also seeing the school strikers as well, that was also like 2019, this massive movement of young people, like younger than us, still at school, just going like, adults, what are you doing? You have to, like, you are leaving us with a shit show to clean up once you've kind of left the workforce. So I think like the student strikes, the bushfires was like a moment for a lot of people. That was the thing for me that got me thinking about climate change a lot more. And then also I became a parent in 2018, and that was like my personal shift, where it went from being like, okay, there's this thing that I care about, I want to contribute to having impact because it's the right thing to do, into, oh my God, I have a human being who I'm responsible for keeping alive, and one day he's going to turn around to me and say, hey, Mum, there was like this really narrow window in the 2020s when we had the opportunity as a society to limit temperature rise and prevent things from getting really, really bad. What were you doing during that period of time, Mum? And I, like, that was the thing for me. It's like throwing myself forward and thinking, how am I going to answer that question? Because we are all going to get asked it. How am I going to answer that question? But that's a really privileged thing to be able to think about and answer, because I was in a position where I could go, all right, like at the time I was working for Intrepid Travel, very purpose-led business, already doing a bunch of stuff around sustainability and climate, and we'd recently become a B Corp at the time. And for me, I was in a privileged position where I could say to that organization, hey, I really just want to work on purpose-led initiatives. Like, I want to put all of my time into helping our company get better at what we're already aspiring to do well at. But for a lot of people, that is not that's not an opportunity. Like, we're all just trying to survive a cost of living crisis and keep our heads above water. And so it's not accessible to everyone.
We were chatting off air just before we hit record around our crossover at Intrepid Travel, and the people there that I work directly with. So like Katie Dance, Drew Martinez, Lee Barnes, like people like that, who it was sort of my first real experience in a corporate environment that has that like the values alignment of, I guess, from like you meant like so much purpose element behind it. And just from a culture perspective of having people want to buy in to being part of an organization like that. And I think that especially in this space where sometimes you can get that greenwashing element of people pretending to care about shit, which I think that's where me and Locke fall down a bit, is like some people get praised for stuff where you can tell that they don't really care about what it is that they do. But what I guess with our time at Intrepid, would love for you to get into about your background and what you like about companies like that that are purpose-led, what you saw, what was sort of the good stuff there?
Yeah, sure. So working at Intrepid, I was there for nearly 10 years, and it honestly shaped who I am as a professional and the way that I think about business and the potential that business has to be a force for good. And I know that that's a really cliched terminology, but I believe in it. Like I saw the impact firsthand that Intrepid was able to have in the communities that they operated in, and the culture of working in a place where impact is really important and purpose is like the big picture vision helps you as an employee feel like your work is contributing to something bigger. And it's something that, like I said, I stayed there for nearly 10 years, and that was why, like, there was a purpose. We had a really powerful foundation. We were doing amazing work in communities, like super ambitious sustainability initiatives, particularly for a travel company. And one thing that I especially admire about like the co-founders, one of the co-founders, Daryl Wade, was in, I believe he was in like the first group of climate reality leadership training with Al Gore, like in the early 2000s, maybe 2004 or five or something like that. And he had a real reckoning with like the travel industry and the contribution of air travel to global warming, and so decided that instead of kind of ignoring that or burying their heads in the sand, that they would tackle it head on and do everything that they could across their operations to minimize their footprint. And so that really kind of trickled down throughout the organization, and everyone's thinking about it, talking about it all the time. And so when you work in that kind of culture, it's the kind of place you don't want to leave. It's really difficult to leave. And I only left because I reached a point in time where we were kind of in the early days of the pandemic. The global travel industry had shut down. Like it was really, really hard at Intrepid at that time. And it was like this moment where I thought, if I don't go and work full time on climate now, there's no other opportunity. I was like, the travel industry has shut down. It's now or never. And I applied for this role at Work for Climate that felt to me like it was trying to do the stuff that Intrepid employees were doing already, which is kind of being really proactive inside the company, progressing initiatives. There was stuff that staff at Intrepid were doing around things like gender equality, diversity and inclusion, like really amazing employee-led initiatives that I was a part of at Intrepid. And Work for Climate was kind of taking something like that as a blueprint and just applying it purely to climate and going, okay, what does it look like if you have a small group of employees in a company that really care about something like climate? How can you help equip them with tools, ways of working, like technical knowledge, the sort of influencing tactics that you need to get up a business case internally? Like, what does it look like to empower those employees and get them to really drive positive change on the inside? So for me, there was this moment in time, I was like, COVID's hit, there's no travel. All I could think about was being how I was currently complicit in the climate crisis, and this opportunity came up. And so, I left, but I'm still very much in touch with like my former team at Intrepid, and I love seeing what they're doing out in the world. It's amazing.
How does Work for Climate work? Like, how does you guys go in, empower them with the tools and techniques and stuff? Sort of what type of companies are you seeing come through as well?
So two things. The first thing is we're an NGO, so we're not for profit. We're kind of backed by or incubated by a big climate NGO called the Sunrise Project, which was started in Australia 10 years ago, but basically funds grassroots climate campaigns all around the world. And so they wanted to create something or back something that was helping employees inside of corporations. The reason being that, like, ultimately, corporations drive the most emissions. They hold the most power in society around the world. They have enormous, like, influence over governments, so can shape policy and that kind of thing. So Sunrise was like, corporations are a big lever in terms of solving the climate crisis, and employees are really powerful stakeholders inside of corporations. So this NGO started Work for Climate. So that's to kind of answer the first part of your question around how we work in terms of like our business model. And what we do is we try to find people on the inside of companies who are like I was at Intrepid, like someone who cares about something, but they love their job. Like, we're not trying to get people to quit their jobs to go and work in sustainability. We're trying to find like everyday people. Maybe it's a marketing manager or a sales director or someone in the UX team, et cetera, et cetera. Predominantly knowledge workers, so people who are inside big offices, who have a level of understanding around their influence, how to progress a business case, how to create change internally. We're trying to find those people who really care about the climate crisis and give them technical knowledge about what companies need to do in order to increase their climate ambition, basically. And so that comes in the form of content. Like, we've got a bunch of free content on our website. It comes in the form of courses. So we have this thing called the Work for Climate Academy, which is all these on-demand modules that are basically like the technical stuff to do with switching to renewable energy, science-based emissions reduction that is in line with the IPCC science, which is basically what it means to keep global warming below 1.5 degrees. Renewable energy emissions reduction, money, financed emissions. So this is something that companies don't really think about a lot, but where is their corporate cash held? Like, what, who are they banking with? Who is their default superannuation fund with? And are they funding the expansion of fossil fuels and deforestation and other industries like tobacco, like just getting them thinking about corporate cash? And then finally, lobbying and advocacy. So like one thing that Intrepid does really well is their advocacy and creating campaigns that can really shift consumer thinking about an issue. Or maybe it's lobbying governments and it's getting CEOs and boards to apply pressure through their trade association memberships and that kind of thing to push for progressive policy. Because if the environment, if the regulatory environment isn't set up for businesses to act a certain way, then they're not incentivized to act a certain way. So we try and help employees to push their companies to lobby for climate policy. So basically we have content, we have courses, and then we have a community, like a community of practice where you join up and we do things like monthly live labs and one-to-one coaching, and we pair people. We'll put you with like a learning partner, or we pair you with someone in another organization or another industry. And those people can kind of talk to each other and be like, I've been working on this thing in my company. I'm trying to get them on board with climate. This is what I'm doing. I've done a staff survey to sense check like staff sentiment, or I'm running climate 101s, or I've got the Work for Climate team to come in and do a webinar or do a lunch and learn, things like that. So that community of practice is where we find that people just like, they are exponentially learning from each other in ways that we couldn't quite imagine when we were first building out the platform. So that is essentially how we work.
You mentioned a couple of things there around like getting different companies come in and like build things in up from the ground. I'd love to go into some stuff around people quantifying what their impact is. So like when they first start thinking about these things, like you mentioned a couple ones there, like who their bank is or who their super funds, like things like that, where if I'm just I'm running a smallish sort of company, I've got 10 staff, I'm thinking, fuck, I've got to start thinking about some stuff. How do you even start where to look about what impact you're actually having in the first place?
That's a tough question. Measuring impact, like, as you know, is really hard because it is difficult to quantify. And the way that we, because like emissions and energy are quantifiable, and there are a bunch of apps and tools and software. You've got things like the Salesforce Net Zero Cloud, like things like that, that are making it really easy for businesses to plug in how much energy they are using, calculate their scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions, and get some numbers that they can measure and then begin to manage and bring those down. But the other areas of impact are less quantifiable. And so what we do is try to replicate what you would do in a data-led environment, but bring that over into a less black and white space. So we'll capture like what are our leading indicators, some of these impacts that we're trying to see companies commit to can take years. These are really long lead times. So like, what are the leading indicators that show us that the work that we're having and the work that these employees are having is driving impact? So some of those leading indicators might be things like, conversations you've had with senior leaders in your company, like just tracking things like that. Like I said before, doing surveys to employees in your company, like what are all these actions, just tracking them in simple like spreadsheets or whatever tracking methodology you use inside your company. But yeah, that's a work in progress. And you mentioned before that when you were working in Intrepid, you were trying to bring in those ways of working and some of that, like the Atlassian methodology. Like, we were founded, but like partly by the Sunrise Project, and then also partly by like a former leader from Atlassian, Brian Rollins. And we also had a product manager who was from Atlassian at the time. So we were really lucky to have been born out of that kind of tech industry environment. And a lot of the thinking behind how we built our website, how we've been developing our courses and our content and our tools has been influenced by those ways of working and measuring impact and just like test, learn, iterate, etc.
What's it like having someone like that be there to build and also like champion this cause? I know from our perspective, like Atlassian is seen as like the gold standard of what can come from like homegrown Aussie companies going out there and making it on the big stage. And it must be a cool environment to be able to also work from an innovation point of view, having people like that help set the foundations of things like ways of working.
It was honestly like the best experience professionally. And one of the reasons, like, it was very difficult, like I said, to leave a job that I love to go and work in a completely new sector. But the fact that Brian was running Work for Climate at the time and had just kind of started it up based on his experience of being a general manager in Atlassian and seeing what a lot of Atlassian employees were driving internally around, like switching to renewable energy and trying to switch their default super fund. And so he kind of came up with this concept of, what if you could scale that? Is there a way that you could like write a playbook on how employees can drive this action internally, write a playbook, and then create like a low touch, high scaled version of what they're doing to teach it to employees in companies all around the world? So that kind of thinking and having one-to-one exposure to someone with that caliber of experience inside Atlassian and inside the tech industry was like baptism of fire for me, because I'd kind of grown up through creative industries, advertising. It like there's crossovers, they're kind of adjacent but also very different. And so for me it was like, okay, pull your socks up and start bringing more rigor to your thinking behind your decision making, because being in the creative world, a lot of stuff is to do with intuition and ideas, and you test stuff but you don't test stuff in the same kind of scientific way as you do in one of those highly successful like software product-led organizations. It was amazing.
I would love to get into a bit about maybe some brands that you think are doing some good stuff out in the market at the moment. So if people are looking for some examples on the back of this chat, they can go check out some companies that you think are doing some cool things. Can you rattle them off?
Yeah, I mean, like we obviously talked about Atlassian, they are very much at the leading edge of what is possible for a company in terms of sustainability and sustainability ambition. And having spoken to like their global chief sustainability officer, getting an understanding of like what their obstacles are and how they're trying to go about like pushing through those obstacles is really fascinating. The other great thing about Atlassian is that they kind of open source everything that they're learning as well. Their team plays on site are great to learn from. They recently published also this thing called Don't Fuck the Planet. And it's basically like their playbooks of how to create like a net zero strategy for your company. So Atlassian's one, and we've also been working with a team at Salesforce in Australia, and Salesforce, again, they're also at the leading edge of doing all of the great things on sustainability. But those are like the big brands. I think that there's a lot of smaller companies and smaller brands who are doing really incredible things around climate and sustainability. I'll have to wait for them to pop into my mind and they'll surface up mid-sentence.
It's hard with the questions on the spot to think of all this sort of stuff sometimes, but what does a normal week look like for you? I mean, it must be busy.
I banned the word busy from my vocabulary a few years ago because I found that it was distracting me. Like I was doing work that was busy work and not work that was moving stuff forward. So actually there was a little crew of us at Intrepid that banned the word busy. So that's my gift to your listeners. A normal week for me is, oh man, it's chaos. Like I'm a parent to a five-year-old and it's like just getting him dressed in the morning and stuff. Like it can completely take your day on different trajectories. But outside of parenting, like a normal day is I'll be having calls with climate entrepreneurs, we call them. So people who are inside of companies, like trying to drive these changes. So I'll be on calls like a few times a day, helping people unblock stuff, giving them ideas about what they could be working on, or I'll be in meetings, on calls with our team. We'll be like developing digital campaigns, like the normal stuff that you would do inside a business. I think like the thing behind what we're trying to do with Work for Climate is build a brand that is magnetic, that can grow a community in a way that's slightly different to how traditional like not-for-profits and climate platforms work. So a lot of that is like, yeah, we're building a digital marketing campaign, or we are interviewing people for our blog to learn like, how did you make this change? What was the hardest thing? So a lot of it is content. A lot of it is building our courses as well and testing like what's working, what's not working, and just trying to find the people inside of companies who don't currently identify as climate activists, but who actually really care and didn't realize there's stuff that they can be doing that's having an impact.
Do you love playing in the content space still? I mean, like building it up at Intrepid and stuff and doing the stuff for Work for Climate, is that something that you still enjoy doing?
Oh, I absolutely, like that's where my heart is. And it's hard, like a lot of people say to me, oh, you're so lucky that you get to do what you love. Like you're working on the climate crisis. You get to do what you love. I'm like, I don't fucking love working on the climate crisis. Like it's really bad. That's why I'm working on it. What I love doing is storytelling, is content, is making films, is photography. Like, so I love that stuff. And I have to make sure that I don't like tread on the team's toes too much, because we have an incredible team who are developing all of that stuff. And sometimes like I want to get more involved than I should because it's not actually my job anymore. But yeah, I love it.
A question we ask all our guests is a bit of a mental health one. So what do you turn to when you're looking to get some energy back in your life?
Well, to get energy back in my life, keep my mental health like on an even keel, I have to go running or do sport like every single day. I was privileged to be born into an able body and I need to use that every day, like get my heart rate up. Otherwise I go a bit mad. So yeah, getting out, going for a run.
Oh, I love that. Rob's been running lately. He's been getting the shorts on. And
I did my hammy last week, so I've locked sick of hearing me talk about
it. I just thought I'd prompt you instead of you just bringing it up this time.
I did my hammy, so I'm
whatever. But you like it for your mental health. You've been running, honestly, running around the track and that to just get out and
move. Well, something that, as a kid, I really, really liked it. And I had a bad knee injury maybe 24, like 7 years ago now, 7.5 years ago. And like the recovery time and getting back to things it's always been a bit of a challenge. And for me, of like, I used to like running as a kid, fell out of love of doing stuff, but found it again through just, I guess, really trying to grind and come back to it. And it's like getting your heart rate up and enjoying exercise is something that I didn't think I would really do again. But now I feel like it's helping a lot from mental health and even just like getting clarity for things. Like, oh, I don't say, not that I didn't like exercise, I'd surf, I'd go out there and do walks or whatever, but the whole
intentional sprinting,
intense exercise has been a real help for me.
Yeah, likewise. It's the only thing that keeps me sane. Although I think I did my hammy this morning as well. So.
I think Rob's is just a grade 3 cramp. That's what I reckon.
Grade 3 cramp.
What are you learning at the moment besides like what you're working on with your work? Is there anything else that you're like learning?
Things that I'm learning about, stuff that I'm listening to. I am somewhat obsessed with the Knowledge Project podcast. You guys are podcasters, so you probably don't ever listen to any other podcasts. I know that. No, but just kidding. Yeah, the Knowledge Project with Shane Parrish. Also, something I'm reading about systems thinking at the moment as well, and learning to think in systems, which is really critical to the work that I'm doing. So that's something else. And what else am I learning about right now? I don't know. I'm just generally like, I've got to be listening to something when I'm out running, and I probably get like overload of like hacks and tips and things. Like there's always so much going in my ears when I'm out running that I probably need to spend more time reflecting on the stuff that I'm reading and the stuff that I'm learning about.
Oh, I love that, because I feel the same way sometimes. I go through like this real like consumption mode, and then I'm like, oh, I need to be out there creating now. Like I've got all the stuff, like what needs to come out of my head now, you know? It's like I've absorbed enough. Or you have that too, don't you?
Hey, what does come out of your head?
No, not much sometimes. Not much sometimes.
Still waiting to see that creative, huh?
Look, it's hard sometimes. I got writer's block. I got brain freeze from too many icy poles, huh?
Hey, listen, well, hey, we're getting to the pointy end of 2023, which is pretty crazy to say. What are you excited about for the rest of the year, and what can we expect to see?
Things that I'm excited about for the rest of the year are, in no particular order, we are going to be launching a fellowship program, which will be kicking off in 2024, that we are super excited about. So right now, like our courses are on demand, like online on demand, but we're going to be running like a limited series for professionals who are like deadly serious about doing this work. We bring them together in a fellowship, which is like a 3-month intensive transformation. Like it's like a leadership course basically on climate. So I'm pretty excited about that. We've also, like, I can't stray too far from content because I love it. Like we're making a couple of films at the moment about some of our superstar, like, case studies of people who have been leading really extraordinary changes inside their companies. So watch this space for those. And yeah, like it's hard because our business, if you like, just is getting bigger and bigger because the situation is getting worse and worse and worse. Like there's so much work to be doing. Yeah, unfortunately, it's going to be a big year next year.
Hey, well, if they've listened this far and they want to go find out some more stuff, where do they go find out more things about Work for Climate?
Yeah, just check out workforclimate.org, or just like ping me a message on LinkedIn or something like that. We're always open to conversations with anyone who's like interested in this stuff. The one thing that's in my mind a lot at the moment is that, like, you don't have to super glue your hands to a Picasso to call yourself a climate activist. Like there's other easier ways into taking action. So we want to be there to chat to those people.
Oh, I've loved this chat.
Do you like when the people do that? You know, like when they throw paint and things and they're doing stuff? It sort of pisses me off.
I watched, have you seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Have you seen that show? I watched it last night, funny enough, and she glues her hand to the painting. That's so strange that just come up there.
Yeah.
And she's just like, and the gag was she didn't know what she was protesting for. She just saw that people were doing it.
That way anyway. You join a queue.
That's a good little segue on the wrap-up.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks again, Lucy. Pumped to get this one out there.
Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, Lucy Piper LP. What a legend, huh?
Yeah, I feel like we're going to go out there, do a bit of a sanity check of what we're doing in our life and see what we can...
What have you been doing? Have you been looking in the mirror lately, just looking real hard into those eyes?
Looking into my own soul and just seeing, what do you stand for, you know?
Is there a little bit of that, like soul searching? How deep do you go midweek? deep do you go? Are you thinking about like life, like you're zooming right out, or are you
on
just
a Wednesday night, if you're thinking too deep, looking at yourself in the mirror, you've got... It's a bit more of a problem there. So if I do get stuck on a Wednesday night, then I think there's an issue.
Well, know? It's weird because you got this big mirror that's like the wall size, just get transported into your house. So I'm like, where is that going, huh?
What?
I've just seen it. You've had it done. You bought it on Marketplace. It's a big mirror the size of the wall. So you can look at yourself all day.
I don't know. Like one of the gym mirrors.
Yeah, maybe you're putting it on the roof.
You wouldn't get anything done if you had them in your house, because you do. Anytime you catch your own reflection, you're pretty happy with your own work, aren't you?
Sometimes I look in puddles and I'm looking at myself.
In puddles, looking at yourself.
Maybe if I'm walking through a car park, I might look at myself through the mirror. People think I'm probably casing the car. I'm actually looking at myself.
Hey, if you listen this far and you've been listening to the pod lately, you've been seeing our new promos for Pay Squad, Green Square, Caleb and Cam. They've been at the start, at the end of our episodes going on there. So if you have liked what they're up to, or you'd like to learn more about what's going on in the Dream Big Social Club and all things going on outside of Funny Business, please reach out, slide into the DMs. What we're doing from a hands-on advisory and amplification point of view for pre-seed to seed stage startups looking to find new partners, raise capital, build their presence, find new partners who want to be involved in their business and some people who might play some strategic roles in their growth and next stage what they're doing. Please, if that sounds like you and you're doing something interesting, please reach out. And if not, if you've liked our episode, just share it to a friend. It goes a long way.
I'm going to start to call you Call to Action Hicks.
Oh, another cracking episode from the Funny Business Boys. Caleb Holstein, co-founder of SquareX Innovations here, just wanted to jump on and give you guys a quick update. SquareX is currently open for investment. If you're interested in learning more about what we do at SquareX and want to get involved in the digital future of agricultural supply chains, reach out to me via LinkedIn, or you can reach out to the Dream Big Social Club team and join us securing the digital future of the coffee supply chain and beyond.